Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program, and I have the privilege today of being in the studio with evangelist Kevin Brownfield, and we'll have an opportunity to meet him here in just a few moments. My normal co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, is away today and will be returning with us here shortly. But Kevin, it's a great privilege to have you on the air today, and I just wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your ministry. I know you're in evangelism. And I know that the Lord has been doing some great things in your life. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, let me just give you the brief understanding. I was saved in 1980 as a result of a Life Action Revival crusade. It was scheduled to go for 2 weeks, and it ended up going 8 weeks. And during the course of that meeting, I was converted, and God so impacted my life. I had already been accepted pre-med at Indiana University. Mm-hmm.
And is that where you're from, Indiana?
I grew up right on the border of Indiana in Michigan. I grew up, I spent first 16 years in Michigan side, and when I was 16, we moved to Indiana in South Bend. I lived a couple miles from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And
I just drove through that campus recently.
Did you really?
Man, it's an incredible place.
I spent a lot of time in that seven-story library.
Oh, yeah.
That's an amazing, amazing facility. But anyway, as a result of that crusade, I was converted in... And God radically changed my life, and I actually ended up that fall getting a phone call from Life Action Ministries, and they asked me to come with them. So I traveled with them for a couple of years, and God really did an overwhelming work in my life.
Now, how old were you when you traveled with Life Action?
I was 18.
So they called you as an 18-year-old high school graduate, recently converted, and put you on one of their teams.
Exactly.
What did you do on the team?
Well, I started out as a sound man. And then it's kind of a unique scenario. God ordained all of it. I do some singing. A lot of people that listen to me speak wouldn't think so. But I do some singing. And during the course, we did this program all over the country called America, You're Too Young to Die. One of the team members hurt his back and had to leave. And so they needed a warm body that could carry a tune. And I got in his place and ended up being a singer for the last 2.5 years on the team. But I also started preaching there. After a period of time, they asked me to start doing what we called back then Master Control Seminar, and it was for teenagers. And so they asked me to give my testimony and asked me to share several things. So that's where I really began to preach, was my first year at Life Action. I began to preach, and from there, I did traveling. After I got out of Life Action, I continued doing some traveling, and I kind of do everything backwards because I have such a hard head. So I was in the ministry for about 6 years before I came to college, and because having traveled in Life Action, Dr. Les Ola, Dr. Marty Vaughn, and now Dr. Wynn Kimbrough, who has been here for many years, all of them were headed up to Northland, and my good friend Wynn Kimbrough called me because he knew I was looking at colleges, and he said, you need to come and look at Northland. So I came up and looked at Northland, fell in love with it, and God brought us here to get an education, and God just did a wonderful work. And while I was a student here, I continued to travel and speak somewhere almost every weekend.
Yeah, I heard
and
this.
Then when I graduated in 1990, Doc Olala asked me if I would become staff evangelist for Northland. So in essence, I've been traveling all of my life in Christ.
You've really had an effective ministry out. In fact, we're going to have you at Brookside this fall for our missions conference.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
We're excited about having you. A lot of our folks are already praying, and I know our missions committee's been hard at work pulling all the details of that together. But Kevin, now you met your wife when you were with Life Action, or did you meet your wife when you came here to Northland?
No, my wife and I met in Life Action. We traveled on the same team together, and then I left a year before she did. She continued to travel for another year, and God allowed us the gracious privilege of getting married, and it was very unique because we both had the same revival heart and revival mm-hmm. perspective mm-hmm. because Del Faisenfeld and Dr. Les Olala and Dr. Marty Vaughn had a very profound influence on both of us.
Mm-hmm. So you came to Northland as a marriage student.
Yes.
What was that like?
Awesome. I was very grateful for it. You know, looking back on it now, and I don't take things away from those that are in college single, that's a wonderful thing. But for me, I didn't have any of the social pressures. You know, I had a whole series of other pressures.
Yeah,
financial pressures.
Food
and lots
pressure.
Food pressures. There was a lot of weeks that we just had, beans and weenies, and that was about all there was. So, but it really was an awesome blessing. And as I look back, and I'm so thankful for Northland's stand on not graduating with debt. And because of that, my wife and I got on our face, and we watched God do some of the most unbelievable things. We didn't tell anybody we had a need, and yet God met need after need after need. And so we learned what it was like to walk in the crucible of faith.
You know, you're speaking on the air today, to Kevin, to people who can really relate to that. Mm. There are listeners out there who literally are doing all they can to serve the Lord, and they honestly don't know where they're going to get the resources to do what God has called them to do. Would you feel comfortable sharing one or two of those experiences? Is there one that just kind of pops to your mind that you saw the Lord just do a mighty, mighty miracle above and beyond?
Well, there, the list is so long. I remember one time we lived in a little trailer in Dunbar. And Brother Smale's place, and it was unreal. And I'll just give you two quick ones. We lived in this little trailer, real little small place. It was probably made in the 1960s. It was the old green and gold coloring that you would imagine from that era of time. And we had a wood stove that he had put on there. And one night something happened to it, and it wasn't working properly. And our daughter was crying and crying and crying, and both my wife and I were sound asleep. But God used her. She cried and woke us up, and the whole place was full of smoke.
Mm.
And, you know, it was just the grace of God to save
wow.
us. But financially, we were in that same little trailer, and the bank called us and told us that we were $150 in the red. And something had happened, and my wife or I don't remember who it was, forgot to record a couple of checks. And so they said, you know, we need the money, and we need it now. So my wife and I did a little garage sale, and we sold our kitchen table and all our chairs. I'll never forget, we were out there, and I turned around, and my wife sold my winter gloves that I had set down on the table for a moment. She sold them, but then later in the day, I got her back because I sold something that she didn't want to sell, but it just kind of got in the way, and somebody else wanted it, and so I sold it to them. But while we were there, selling things, trying to make this money to try to pay the bank back, this guy wanted to buy a couch that we were trying to sell. So we went with him to his house. And, of course, at this point, not only are we in the red, we don't have anything to eat. There's nothing in the house to eat. So we went to his house. I said, if you buy the couch, I said, I'll take it to your house for you. So we took it to his house. And while we were there, this is a lost man. He does not know Christ.
Mm.
I began to share the gospel with him. And while I was sharing the gospel with him, tears came to his eyes. He didn't get saved, but before we left, he filled our car up with all kinds of vegetables and all kinds of canned goods.
Wow.
and gave us enough for 6 months. We had enough food for 6 months, and he just kept putting more and more stuff in, just because when we found out we're in the red, first thing my wife and I did was grab our hands together and get in our kitchen and just say, Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go from here.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just events like that, when the school bill was due and we didn't know where in the world the money was going to come from. And rather than making phone calls, because it's so true today, we have kind of a Jehovah Visa mentality. We put it on our Visa, our MasterCard, rather than going to the Eternal King. We just kind of learned in those days to just stop and say, Lord, you own us. Here we are.
Kevin, thank you for allowing us to kind of see that little segment of your life. Let me just ask a really personal question. How do you feel like that's changed you as a person?
It's changed me significantly. I went through a period of time in the last number of years. It's not been the last 3 or 4 years, but about 5 to 7 years ago, I went into a period of time in my life in which I got back into financial bondage. In a sense, I was like Israel. I forgot the lessons that I'd learned. Some amazing things happened. Every time something in the ministry would go wrong, I'd put it on the card until I had this large debt on cards. And so what eventually happened was God brought me to the lessons. He recycled me through the lessons that
I had learned. God does that, doesn't he?
He surely does. He brought me back again to the understanding of just literally living by faith and walking by faith. So as an evangelist, you depend on credit cards, it seems. And so I did something amazing. I cut all my credit cards up. And after I cut them all up, I went through the most intense, frightful experience of my heart, because I'm thinking, what if I break down? What if I do this? What if I do that? What if I, you know, I went through all the what ifs until God one day in my office just really gripped my heart. And in my spirit, the question came, am I really enough? Am I really all that you need? And we used to sing a song, All I Need, Christ is All I Need. And I came face to face with that truth. I've been there before, but like Israel, I had to come back and look at the milestones of the history of my own life. And so I came to the place and I said, Lord, you are enough. And it's interesting, still traveling as an evangelist, I would break down. And what I told the Lord is, if I break down, I'm staying put until you provide. And I broke down frequently as an evangelist. And the most amazing thing is, God paid every bill to the dime. I didn't have a credit card,
Amen.
But I need one because I have the eternal God as my resource. And from his hand in my mouth, God met every need to the dime.
So if I were a listener today and I'm listening to this amazing testimony of what God's done in your life and how God's worked and how God's used you, and I said in my own heart as I'm driving to work or wherever I am that I'm hearing this, yeah, but he's an evangelist. God has to take care of him. I'm just a regular person, and I've got kids, I've got school bills, I've got house payment. How do you translate what's going on in your life and what God's done in your life over to the life of somebody who would look and say those kind of things?
I guess the first thing I would say is God's no respecter of persons.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that he does something for one group of people is to have a wrong theology of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God does not treat one person in his kingdom different than he does another. And so we have to, first of all, start with that. The other thing I might say is, the first thing we have to do is do an evaluation of ourselves. Where are we at? Because really, I believe in our time and our generation, we have difficulty walking by faith because we are so used to walking by sight. I'm not calling people by my life to a blind faith, to just kind of throw everything to the wind and, you know, and just say, well, we'll just trust God. I think that there's an element of wisdom. One of the greatest studies I ever did in my life was going through the book of Proverbs and seeing what it said about money and finances. And it was like getting a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard because God brought me face to face with a whole lot of stuff I was doing really wrong. And I had to make some adjustments and changes. So a lot of times people that are struggling, the first thing they should do is make some adjustments, find out where they are, and then they're going to have to make some adjustments, deal with some things, and then learn to live by faith. You know, a lot of people have difficulty giving because we are so strapped financially.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really give when
That's
people
right.
have need, or when ministries
yeah.
come to our church. We can't really give because we're so tied down. But God wants us to walk in financial freedom, and that's just one element of life that has kind of been kind of a recycling lesson, but this time God did such an amazing thing.
And Kevin, thank you for taking the time today, and for those of you listening, I hope that the broadcast today has really been a help to you as it has been a challenge to me. As you know, we do depend on the gifts of God's people to be able to stay on the air, and we're so thankful for the many of you that have contacted us and written us. And but for those of you who feel led of the Lord to send a donation in of $10 or more, we do have this month Dr. Les Olala's pamphlet, Developing a Biblical Worldview, as a way to say thank you to you.